Sometimes people say to me, Jesus I like, but the church, not so much. I kind of get that statement, but I also want to push back on it. And you can see why as we unpack Paul's first letter to the church in the Greek town of Corinth, also known as 1 Corinthians. It can be read as a blueprint for how to be a church. Now, we've already heard this morning about the Greek town of Corinth, how it was a bustling town full of people from many different nations. There were lots of ideas, lots of people convinced that their particular ideas were right, and it was easy to get confused. The new church there didn't have any buildings. It had to meet in people's homes, and as the church expanded, then it had to meet in several different homes. And it meant that it was easy for people to get divided and go off beam. It was hard to be a church then. It's hard to be a church now in the time of coronavirus. But looking at 1 Corinthians will help. Now, if you've got a Bible with you, you'll find that very useful this morning. We'll be looking at the first half of chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, but we'll look into other parts of the letter too. And I want to say three things. First, the Corinthian church was a church with problems. Second, the Corinthian church was still founded on the gospel, and its way forward was remembering that fact. And then thirdly, the Corinthian church had to remember that because of the gospel, it still belonged to God, and God wanted to use it. So first point, the Corinthian church was a church with problems. If you read the letter, you'll find a host of issues where it was going off beam. And I think in a strange way, that is a help to us. For Christian faith doesn't get going on the basis of having a bunch of perfect people. Rather, it starts with a bunch of highly fallible people who make loads of mistakes. And so when it got going, it doesn't depend on everybody being perfection. And so the work of St. Barnabas Church does not depend on us being perfection either. And in this chapter, we can see that one of the problems in Corinth was that the church was divided. At the end of verse 11, Paul writes, "There are quarrels among you. What I mean is this, one of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas," which is another way of saying Peter. Still another, "I follow Christ." As an aside, that last lot, the I follow Christ party, you might be thinking they look like the ones who've got it right. But what Paul seems to be saying here is that these are the people who were tired of all the other groups and who rather smugly said, "We follow Christ, not any mere human teacher." Now, technically that's right, but it was said in a superior, passive-aggressive way, meaning they were no less divisive than any of the others. The key thing is that in each of these groups, it's the dominance of the word I, as in I follow Paul, I follow Apollos. The Corinthian Christians were treating faith like a kind of supermarket, like ordering on Amazon. The individual I was in charge. If I feel like believing this or that, I'll do it. And that matters greatly for us now when we are doing Christian worship often over the internet. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm hugely grateful for the internet, but worship on the internet has issues. And the biggest of them is that this is something that we mostly watch, like TV. You and I turn it on or off when we like. It's like a belief supermarket. We are in control. If we aren't enjoying the service, if the preacher's voice grates, if the music is not to our taste, well, click, off it goes. But true worship of God is not that simple. We are not simply spectators in worship. We are participants. It's the difference between watching an FA Cup final and actually playing in an FA Cup final. Being a Christian, being part of a church, is much more like being on the pitch as a player. Then you can't just opt out. Then you're needed. You're part of the team. You belong. That takes me to the second point. Paul responds to the Corinthian church's problems, not by washing his hands of them, but by reminding them that they have to stop saying they are in charge and discover they are part of a community, a team, founded on the gospel. And you see this in verse 13. Paul's heard about these different groupings, and he replies, "Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul?" Of course not. And that's where, if you've got your Bibles with you, I'd like you to keep a finger in chapter 1 and turn with me to chapter 15 and verses 3 and 4. And Paul says, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures." Paul, in chapter 15, is near the end of the letter, and he's reminding the Corinthians of the heart of the gospel. And he says the heart is Christ dying on the cross for our sins and Jesus raised from the dead, offering us new life. That's it. Two things. And you might think of it as like this bunch of books on a book rest. The thing that keeps the books from falling down are these bookends at either end of the book rest, and without them they'll fall flat. And the cross and resurrection are like that. They're the heart of the Christian gospel. On the cross, Jesus bears the weight of everything that weighs us down. By his resurrection, he offers us hope of new life. Jesus' cross and resurrection bookend this letter to the Corinthians. If you read the first couple of chapters, you see it frequently is referring to the cross. And if you read the end, particularly chapter 15, you see it ends with the resurrection, like two ends of the book rest. They hold the whole letter together. Paul is saying that instead of being in charge, instead of saying, "I follow this," or "I follow that," we discover by Jesus' cross and resurrection that we are part of a community in which he is Lord. Look at the first three verses of chapter 1. How many times does Paul call Jesus Lord in those verses? Well, if you look, it's three times in three verses. He's driving home the point. Knowing Jesus crucified and resurrected is to know him as Lord. So, yes, firstly, the church in Corinth was a problem church in all sorts of ways. And so is St. Barnabas. We are a problem church too. We're not perfect. But what we see from Paul's stress on the cross and resurrection is that even in our problems, the church is founded on the gospel. And out of this comes our third point, that the church belongs to God and is at work in it. I love the opening verse 2 of this letter. "To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours." Paul is reminding the Corinthian church that they are God's people who belong to him. They are the church of God. They are those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus. They are called to be saints. He's saying, "Church of Corinth, in Corinth, remember who you are. You're God's people. You belong to him. You're not just a club which can decide when and how you want to live. You are God's people. He is your Lord. You have a new identity." And even in this church with so many problems, he doesn't begin by listing all the ways in which they need to change. He begins by reminding them whose they are. That's not an accident. Paul will go on to talk about how they need to change and how they can't possibly carry on in the way they are. They were part of their culture once, but now they are to be countercultural, made holy once they trust in Christ. So even with this church, which has a lot of problems, Paul has a very high view of them. Verse 4 says, "I thank my God for you." As we'll read later, Paul has strong reasons to be anything but thankful for the Corinthian church. But he says, "I thank God for you." And the result of the church belonging to God is that God works through the church. In the rest of the letter, Paul works on their worship, on their behaviours, on their hearts, on their beliefs. The Corinthian church has a job to do, so too important for it just to stay in the same old ruts. That's why Paul bothers with them, because he sees that God wants to work with the Corinthians. He doesn't want to give up on them. To the person who says, "I like Jesus, but the church, not so much," I think that was perhaps easier to say before Corona than it is now. Western culture is profoundly individualistic. It's dissolved the bonds of society, of family, and of congregation. But being a rugged individual, being alone, has its limitations. And Corona is finding those out. And the Bible says that you can't do Christian faith on your own. Being a Christian starts, yes, with a personal encounter with Jesus. But as we see here, it means becoming part of a community. These communities have their problems. The Corinthian church had them, so does St. Barnabas. But the church starts not with what we do. It's founded not on what we do, but what God does in Jesus on the cross and resurrected. You see, this is not our church. Rather, we are his church. We belong to him. I do want to see a notice in a church saying, "Welcome to our church." And I think that gets it quite wrong. The church is not our possession. And because God in his holy madness wants us on board, he wants to work through us. And dispensing with Christian community is therefore simply not an option. These are strange times. Part of the privilege of what I do is the many conversations I have with church members. And what strikes me consistently as I talk to different members of our congregation is how people are finding ways to serve God and to love others, even in these strange days, often in very quiet ways. We are very far from perfect, but God is working in us. That means we are, each of us, essential workers, if you like. Whether we have a very public role, whether what we do is completely unseen. I miss many things about church that have stopped due to lockdown. But whilst the church building is mostly closed, the church is as open as it ever was. You might think of where we are now as a kind of Lent, where we're giving up a lot about church. And that first Sunday, when we're properly back in St. Barnabas after the lockdown ends, we will really whoop it up. It will be a second Easter. But in the meantime, God has not pressed the pause button. As we pray and worship, as we talk and we try to care, and God is at work in those who follow him. Let me finish. This first chapter of 1 Corinthians tells us that the Corinthian church was a problem church. So is St. Barnabas. It tells us that the church in Corinth was founded on the gospel. So so is St. Barnabas. And consequently, the church in Corinth belonged to God, and God was at work in that church. And so it is with us.